Greetings, comrades. These are the news of the Nordic Nation. This is a news broadcast produced by members of the Nordic Resistance Movement. The following is a compilation of different news bites gathered from the websites during the week gone by. We are talking week 26 and 27 of the current year 2017. And we're going to start off by revisiting the multicultural cesspool of Malmö. Travel agency in Malmö warns travelers about Malmö. On the 2nd of July, the police received reports of a shooting in the residential area Holma in Malmö. Three men had been shot, whereof two of them were seriously wounded. The event made the business travel agency Agencia, which has Malmö municipality as its customer, to email a warning to its customers who were planning to visit Malmö. The travelers were encouraged to avoid the residential area, to be extra cautious and to follow the local media closely for updates, as well as to be on the lookout for anything out of the ordinary. The warnings upset a lot of officials at Malmö municipality. We think it's an unfortunate formulation. It's remarkable that they sent an email like this to its customers. It makes one wonder what kind of routines they have for evaluating events in Sweden, says the communication manager Anders Melberg. Malmö municipality therefore contacted the travel agency and demanded an explanation for their actions. It's sad. We have contacted them and told them that we don't accept this type of misleading descriptions of reality. It's upsetting that they don't describe the city in a context which makes it sound dangerous, says Melberg and continues. I think it's good that they inform the travelers about, for example, metro strikes and similar things that might affect the travelers. But it's about evaluating events. This was not done wisely. Michael Schuller, who is the CEO of Agencia in Sweden, responded to the critique by saying that they centrally monitor events globally and inform their customers. Then we inform our customers about the events, but whether or not a shooting in Holma is worth the attention is something that can be discussed. But the fundamental idea is to inform the people, says Schuller. Malmö municipality will continue to work with the travel agency, but they will look over the routines in the future. The city of Malmö continues to give welfare to illegal immigrants. The labor market and the social service council in the city of Malmö have decided to continue to pay out welfare to illegal immigrants. The decision came even though the High Court on the 5th of June ruled that illegal immigrants do not have the rights to welfare. In a conclusion, the court writes that a person who avoids deportation by hiding from the authorities does not have the right to welfare according to the social service jurisdiction. The moderate party in Malmö are critical to the decision and say that the socialists and the Greens are disobeying the law. The opposition councillor Torbjörn Teghammar says that the ruling is very clear, that illegal immigrants do not have a right to welfare and that the payouts should cease immediately. A city legal administrator, Nathalie Glotz-Stade, claims that the social service jurisdiction give a local municipality the right to aid in cases of social emergency and that they have an obligation to do so. Glotz-Stade. New report. 61 socially vulnerable areas with 5,000 criminals and 200 gangs. Nordfront wrote previous week about another 8 no-go zones that have been added to the list in Sweden, which are now 23 in total. According to a new report from the National Police Commissioner, Dan Eliasson, and the chairman of the National Department of Operations, Mats Löfving, there are now 61 vulnerable areas in Sweden. In these areas, there are 5,000 active criminals and 200 gangs. And the police have now observed this worrying trend in other parts of the country than just the suburbs around the big cities. Vulnerable areas are categorized by a combination of high crime, high unemployment, and many living on welfare, and many with migrant backgrounds. This results in a lack of safety for the inhabitants who say they want to work and study, but are prevented to do so due to shootouts, murders, riots, and attacks on blue personnel in public spaces, as well as open drug trade. The possibility to see any change in these areas is said to take many years, and the plan to combat the rise in crime consists among other things, increasing the police funding, harder sentencing, use of more research-based methods, and the increase of number of CCTV cameras. Another important priority is to be granted permission for personal data scanning and storage. So, the invaders destroy our cities, and the state installs 1984. That seems like a fair trade, doesn't it? Minister of Home Affairs strike again. No-go zones don't exist in Sweden. After the latest report regarding the vulnerable areas or no-go zones in Sweden, the moderate party demands the resignation of Dan Eliasson, police commissioner in Sweden, because the report reveals a national crisis. We have a serious problem with crime. The police does not get the resources they need, and the criminals laugh at our society, states Thomas Tobé, moderate party spokesman for legal policies. He continues, "It is obvious that he doesn't have the support from the police of our nation. They deserve a leadership who stands up for them, see that their conditions improve and have a functional board." The Minister of Home Affairs, Anders Ygeman, however, claims that the so-called no-go zones don't exist in Sweden, and says that the report from the police simply is false. He also says that the parents in these areas should take care of their youth. "It's the opposite. These areas are go-go zones," says Ygeman regarding the areas on the list. Village starts carpooling. Residents encourage to give racial strangers a ride. In a small village of Siljanäs in Dalarna County, the majority of the 1,200 residents travel by car some 15 kilometers each day to the nearby town of Leksand for work or for leisure. This summer, public transport will be temporarily cancelled, and therefore many residents without a driver's license will be stuck. A local group called Siljanäs Resource have come up with the idea to create a carpool to solve the problem. The purpose is that freshly arrived asylum seekers who live there and other villagers' residents can get to Leksand as an alternative to public transport, but also for the natives to get to know the asylum seekers better, says Carl Viking, who leads the project. Those who want to ride just have to stand by the side of the road in these special vests that the carpool group have given out, and hopefully a car will pick them up. In the nearby town of Leksand, there is also a meeting point for members who want to carpool and want to ride out of town. But one can also request a ride through different social media networks as well. Both the residents of Siljanäs and others in the nearby area who benefit from this service are said to be very positive to the project. Mostly children and youth are said to benefit from this, being driven around by total strangers. Newly arrived invaders fail to graduate elementary school, may be forced to lower requirements. The courses which Komvux, the Swedish education system for adults, offers today are as a minimum on the same level as Swedish elementary school, according to documents from the Swedish government. But these courses require some previous knowledge. The students at Komvux who study on an elementary level are today mainly comprised of people born outside of Sweden who have never studied in Swedish elementary school. More than 9 out of 10 students are from outside of Sweden, wrote the government in a document. The Swedish government also wants to make it compulsory for all invaders who haven't gone through elementary school to be educated, but this would most likely demand that the education was altered to fit the lower levels of knowledge among the invaders. Newly arrived asylum seekers who lack education must be equipped with the education that they can join the labor market. It is a very serious issue that so few do it today. That is what we want to change, says Ylva Johansson, the Swedish Minister for Employment. The Swedish National Agency for Education is therefore now tasked with examining if content of the courses correspond to the needs and conditions that exist among the newly arrived invaders, which means that the agency will have to see if the courses can be changed, and if so, how. Putting demands on a person who comes to Sweden that they have to make themselves employable gives more people the chance to get their first job. That is why we need to make it compulsory for newly arrived asylum seekers with low levels of education to study to adequate levels, says Elisabeth Svantesson, spokesperson for the labor market politics. The compulsory education is part of the migration agreement made between the government and the bourgeoisie parties during 2015. One can also read the following in the document. Newly arrived asylum seekers are to gain the knowledge needed for them to be paired with a job, or so that they can satisfy themselves on the labor market. Alternatively, they can also participate in higher levels of education. Gudrun Schyman refuses to have sparkling water with Nazis, wants to outlaw the opposition instead. In the beginning of June, Nordfront reported that the visitors of this year's political elite event in Almedalen wouldn't have to run into the political party Feminist Initiative. This is because the Nordic resistance movement is also attending, said the party leader Victoria Cavesa, currently under police investigation for fraud. Their decision followed after other left-wing extremists, feminists and other decadent organizations chose to boycott the event. According to Cavesa, the decision also was based on solidarity with groups and persons forced to silence due to the present threat that a debate with the resistance movement would mean to them. Later, Cavesa publicly demanded that all should boycott the week in Almedalen because she claims that the resistance movement want to kill the prime minister and everyone who doesn't have white blood. Furthermore, she said that the meeting in Almedalen is already a white middle class gathering, since the trip isn't for free. Another prominent member of the Feminist Initiative, Gudrun Schyman, have also commented on the decision. She says that it's hard to discuss with opponents on an equal level. To discuss or even drink sparkling water doesn't even exist in her world, since she thinks it will only lead to violence. You can't discuss with Nazis on an equal level. You can't have a panel debate exchanging views and drink sparkling water. That's not what happens. The Nazis will attack. They use violence. If Schyman could decide, opposing groups wouldn't be allowed to exist in Sweden. At the same time, she claims she doesn't have an issue with free speech. No, freedom of expression can't be too extensive. But we do have laws against racial hatred, and it needs to be enforced. We should have a law against Nazis organizing themselves, she explains. The Party of the Danes disband. The leader of the nationalist Party of the Danes, Daniel Carlsen, announced Saturday that he leaves his political career behind instead to prioritize on his private life and family. In an email to the Danish news agency Ritzau, he comments, "After more than 9 years as a public figure and 6 years as a leader with a big organizational responsibility within the Party of the Danes, I have chosen to end my political career. In the future, I want to focus on my family and my private life." Daniel Carlsen will also resign as a member of the board in the European Party Alliance for Peace and Freedom. At the same time, the board of the Party of the Danes have chosen to disband the party without any further comments. The Party of the Danes was founded in 2011 and had good contact with the Party of the Swedes before they disbanded in 2015. They were members of the Alliance for Peace and Freedom together with many other nationalists, such as the German NPD and the Greek Golden Dawn. They stood in both local and regional elections in Denmark, but without any noteworthy success. They campaigned to gather 20,000 signatures to be able to stand in the national elections, but according to various sources, they were far from reaching their goal. New integration project. Newly arrived invaders and Swedes on parental leave will meet up on stroller walks. Växjö municipality recently came up with a new integration project, namely to pair newly arrived invaders and Swedes on parental leave together for stroller walks. The project is called Promenade to Integrate. The purpose of the project is to be able to integrate people that has just arrived to Sweden, to meet new friends, to get network and relations, says the project leader Therese Karlberg from the non-profit association Institute for Local and Regional Democracy. Karlberg hopes that this relaxed activity will attract the people who don't dare to participate in the more organized integration projects that the town already offers. The project has been given 320,000 kroner by the local county. The money will be mainly used for marketing the project to newly arrived foreigners in the area, and the first stroller walks are planned to take place in October. Hallelujah, another integration project. It's like watching things being slowly put into a rubbish bin. And that is all we had for you this week. Our thanks go out to the diligent translators who made this project possible, and also to the listeners who show their support by pitching in financially. If you are interested in donating to our struggle, you can do so by following the links posted in the show notes. Stay strong, comrades, and stay brave. And join us next week for another briefing on the events in the Nordic nation. Hail victory!